Hebrews chapter number 11, please. Hebrews chapter number 11. As the kids are leaving, I'll sort of give a little introductory part of our outline. This morning, we start the second section of Hebrews. If you remember, in chapters 1 through 10, we looked at what we called Christianity, the preeminence of the founder. And of course, we saw two major things, the superiority of his person and the superiority of his priesthood, and of course, a lot of things in between that. This morning, in starting chapter 11, of course, this will take us through the end of the book, we see Christianity, the principle of faith. And I've broken this section into four main parts. I won't give them to you all now, but we're going to look this morning at the principle of faith, and that is its superiority in its followers' commitment. Now, in this chapter, I really don't know yet exactly how many messages I'm going to preach out of chapter 11. I can tell you this, I know there will be at least 22. There's a lot here. And when I say 22, this morning we're going to look at what I call the commitment of the followers. And in that first aspect, we're going to look at the explanation of faith. We'll start the examples of faith next time. And the examples, though, start at verse 4, take you all the way down through verse number 38, and there will be about 20 examples at least. Maybe more, depending on how many of those the unspoken ones. There's a lot of unspoken characteristics over there, especially beginning in verse 32 down through about 38, that those characteristics could apply to. In verse 32, there's a number of names, but in verse 33 and following, there's characteristics that apply to those in verse 32, but it also applies to a lot that's not named there. And anyway, we're going to look at a lot of different things there. I'm looking forward to it. I'm already excited about it. I don't know if you get excited about stuff like that. I get excited about it. Being able to dig in God's Word and seeing what is there. But this morning, the superiority in its followers' commitment. Now, what I want to speak about this morning is a defining point for everybody in this room. The point I'm going to preach about this morning will make a difference if you are victorious in your Christian life or not. It makes a difference if you are an embarrassment to the cause of Christ or if you are a reason of praise. This principle this morning. All of us have heard this statement, the ground at the cross is level. My daddy used to say it this way to me growing up, this idea, every man puts his pants on one leg at a time. And what he was saying was, there's nobody better than you, and there's nobody worse than you. When it comes to this aspect of faith, everybody in this room can be a person of faith. Yes, yeah, some people in this room have a greater privilege than others. I mean, there's some of you in this room, you've been raised in a Bible-believing, preaching family your entire life. You should serve God in a greater way than those of us that were not raised in that type of environment. Why? You have a greater foundation for it. And if you don't, it's because you have chosen not to exercise biblical faith as much as somebody else. You know, it's sad to see somebody raised in that environment that will not choose faith. When you have somebody over here on this side that say it's been raised in a drunkard's home and they decide to exercise faith. It's sad to see that kind of comparison where one's had access to truth and rejected it and the other one didn't have access to it, but when he heard it, he grasped onto it. You know? But this morning, that's the importance. Now, we go back to chapter 10, look at verse number 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith. Now, we pointed out last time in that, when we were in that section, that this, of course, is a quotation from Habakkuk chapter number 2 and verse number 4. And see, he lays that foundation about faith there and that doctrinal background that he's given us in the first 10 chapters now. And then this reminder in verse number 38, now the Holy Spirit is going to remind us again about faith and then it's going to step into a practical teaching about faith. You know, this quotation that's mentioned here is used three times in the New Testament. One in Romans, chapter 1 and verse number 17. In that quotation, of course, in the book of Romans, the emphasis is upon the just. They find in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, the same quotation is quoted again, but there in the book of Galatians, you'll see the emphasis upon faith. You say, wait, I thought the emphasis in this chapter is on faith. It is, but a little twist. In Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse 38, you see that passage again, but the emphasis, believe it or not, in verse number 38 and in chapter number 11 is the emphasis on shall live. Living faith is what's emphasized in chapter 11, not just faith. Living faith. And of course, all the illustrations given, or the examples given to us here of men that lived their faith, you know, through wrong preaching. So many Christians, they think that they can have an on-again and off-again type of faith. And long as they are in a rhythm of that on and off, long as they stay in that rhythm, they're okay. That is not how Christianity is to be lived. Christianity is not to be, oh, you're on mountain peaks and then you're in the valley. Then you're on the mountaintop, then you're in the valley. That is not how the Bible teaches the Christian life is to be lived. Here's the way the Christian life is to be lived. Constantly growing up in your faith. But steady consistency is what the Bible teaches. And that can happen if we're living our faith and growing in our faith. And that's what the Bible teaches. And we'll look at that some more. But anyway, in chapter number 11, all Christians, I think, are called upon to live by faith. By the way, may I say, everyone in this room has faith. You're a Christian this morning. If you're here as a Christian, you have faith. The difference among every one of us in here is how focused our faith is and on what our faith is focused. You know, for some in the room this morning, your faith may be focused more on money than God's Word or brains or ideas or family or future or good works or church attendance or education or some religious leader or some girl or some boy or some position, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and so on. And some, your faith is focused upon Christ in this book right here. The difference between your focus will be the difference in your growth and maturity as compared to someone else. And of course, I know the biblical teachers we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. And of course, if we do, then we're not wise. But one thing for sure, this book should be our motivation when it comes to faith. You know, some people call Hebrews chapter number 11 the faith chapter. Well, there's other chapters in Scripture that have faith in it as well. You know, we could go to the last part of chapter, verse 20 in Romans chapter 3, down through the rest of that chapter, into chapter number 4, and we'd see faith is mentioned. We could go to Galatians chapter 3, and you'd see faith mentioned. And yes, faith is mentioned here, but again, the emphasis in chapter number 11 is not just about faith, it's about living faith. Living the faith. Now, yes, this chapter has been called the Heroes of Faith. Yes, it's been called the Hall of Faith. You can call it what you want. But one thing for sure, I want us to see in this chapter how living the faith makes a difference. Now, we could go to chapter 12 of Hebrews, and there we could see that Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, He's the one that we need to look to for our faith. He's the one that we need to look to help to finish our faith, because He definitely is the one that told us what faith is. Now, as we look in this chapter again, the first thing I want us to see is what I call the explanation of faith in the first three verses. And I do hope that I get through the first three verses. Now, the word faith is used in the New Testament in 239 verses in the New Testament. Excuse me, 229 verses in the New Testament. In the 229 verses, the word is used 245 times. So we see that faith is a major doctrine in the New Testament. Sort of interesting. You go to the Old Testament, you'll only find the word faith two times in all the Old Testament. The word faith is only used in the Old Testament two times. And one of those two times is in the quote that we just made reference in verse 38, Habakkuk chapter 2. In verse number 4. Sort of interesting, huh? But it's a major issue in the New Testament. Major doctrine in the New Testament. It's definitely something that we need to pay attention to. Alright, let's come to verse number 1 and through 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to help me to deliver the message this morning with clarity, and that you, dear Lord, would take it and apply it in power. I pray, dear Lord, that hearts would be open to this principle and help each one of us to realize that this major thought of faith is going to define our lives at some point. Lord, I'm sure that it already defines us. But we know when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it will define us even more. So we pray your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in high school, every day in the newspaper, there was a little cartoon-type clip. Renee and I would, at different times, cut them out and give them to each other. And the little cartoon clip was this: love is. And then it'd have a little saying, and you had those two little people there looking at each other or doing something with each other. And, of course, that little cartoon became figurines that were sold in stores. You know, that little bottom, it said, love is. How many of you remember those things? Only four of us? Where the rest of you been? Yeah. But, those things were huge for a while. But, those little figurines with the little statement, love is, did not define what love is. They illustrated it. They described it, they explained it, but it didn't define it. The word, get this, food is pizza. Food is steak. Food is barbecue. Food is ice cream. You know, fruit is pasta. Fruit is dessert. What I just gave, of course, did not define food. Right? Food, of course, is something that has a nutritional value that when taken in, it gives your body fuel to operate and to grow and stay healthy. I mean, food is different than pasta or food. See, what I'm trying to lay in front of you is this. This verse right here in front of us where it says faith is, this verse is not defining love. It is explaining love. And I'll get to that just in a minute. Three major things I want to look at today. First, as we look at this examination of faith, the order of faith. The order of faith. Two things I want to look at in this order of faith. First, the definition of the word. In your New Testament, you'll find the word faith that's given two ways. One, as a noun. Number two, as a verb. As the noun form, it's basically every single time translated faith. As a verb, it will be translated believe or have faith. But it means that basically the noun form and the verb form means exactly the same thing. It means to trust in. It means a commitment to. It means to regard as true. It means to accept as true, accept as a fact. It means to entrust yourself to have confidence in, to be persuaded about something. Those are the definitions of this word. You know, I could give some silly illustrations about it probably. You are sitting in a pew that you believe in. Really, I mean, that's simplistic. That's the reason why you sat down in it, because you believed that it would hold you up. You evaluated it for a number of reasons. Most of us evaluated it simply from the standpoint that you'd been sitting in a pew from your little childhood up, and you never one time, because for that time, but you never one time have questioned if that pew would hold your weight. So what I'm trying to say is, sometimes faith can be a traditional thing. Only because that's the way you've always known it. Now, there's some calculating people with an engineering type of mind that before they do anything, they look at it, evaluate it. I wonder what, get down and look under it, see what the seat, is made out of particle board. Well, it may not hold me. You know, they evaluate the structure of something. Listen, when it comes to the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you had some reason why you accepted to believe something. It may be because you trusted the person that told you about it. But nonetheless, there's a basis for your trust. It's a basis of your acceptance. And we're going to get to that aspect here in just a minute. But my point is, when it comes to your accepting anything, you have a choice in the matter. You have a choice in the matter. So we see the definition of the word. The second thing I want you to see is the demand for obedience. Now, I don't have time to go to these passages. I'll just mention it to you. But Acts 16, verse 31, we see that faith is demanded. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's an imperative. That's a command. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 24, you see, have faith in God. That's a command. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 15, it says, repent and believe the gospel. That's a command. Luke chapter 8 and verse 50, it simply says, believe. And I won't give you the rest of the context. John 4 and verse 21 says, believe. John 10, 38 says, believe. John 14, 1 and 11 say, believe. All of those are commands. So faith can be demanded, but that doesn't mean it's going to be obeyed. And my point is this, that the Scripture demands faith. And of course, when a demand is given, people have a choice. You choose to obey it or you choose to pay it no attention. People that choose to pay it no attention end up suffering consequences of ignoring that command. Why? Because of the authority of the one that gives the command. But we see the order of faith, the definition, and the demand. Now, clearly, I chose on July the 4th, 1973, to believe God. It was an act of my will. After hearing the Word of God, by the way, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, right? And in other words, it takes this book, the reading of this book, the principle of this book, before anybody has a foundation to choose faith. Until a person hears the Word of God, he can't be saved, no matter how bad he wants to be saved from hell. Unless he knows that there is a Savior, unless he knows that he is a sinner, unless he knows that the only way to escape hell is by, as a sinner, realize you can't pay for your own sin debt or earn your salvation, and accept Christ Jesus as Savior. Unless you know that foundation, you can't choose biblical faith. Now, there's all kind of preaching and teaching out there that get people to make some kind of decision, but it's not a biblical faith decision. So those people are not saved. They're deceived. So the Word of God must be there. But after hearing the Word of God, and after receiving convicting and convincing by the Spirit of God. You know, John 16, 7 through 11, clearly tells us that when the Spirit will come, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Right? So after receiving that from the Holy Spirit, by the way, the Holy Spirit will always connect that with the Scripture that we hear. But after hearing the Word of God, after receiving the convicting and convincing of the Spirit of God, I was faced with a decision. Am I going to decide to accept what the Bible says about me and the Savior? Or am I going to continue on in my lost condition? That was a decision I faced July the 4th, 1973. And there on that road in southern Polk County, North Carolina, I stopped and I made the decision to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And what happened? I was saved. My sin was forgiven. I was given a new life. I was given new direction. My whole life changed in a moment of time. And I mean, you're talking about changes flashing through my mind that evening. It was unreal. Now, you know, faith does not cause our ideas to become God's ideas. Faith causes us to accept God's ideas as ours without ever seeing them all. And we have a lot of people that's redefined faith so much that biblical faith is lost. You know, Christ even said, when I return, shall I find faith on the earth? And His implication, shall I find biblical faith on the earth? And His question was stated in a way that He doubted it. What's my point? We see the demand for obedience. So we've seen the order of faith. Second, I want to see the object of faith. Come back to this passage. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, here's a statement that I've heard in past, I've read it in books. Just have faith. Just believe. Those are the two of the most stupidest statements I ever heard in my life. Just have faith. Faith in what? Faith by itself is empty. James would say it this way. Faith without works is dead. What good is dead faith? Obviously, James considered it worthless. Just believe. Believe in what? Believe in whom? It is not our faith that holds us or saves us. Let me say that again. It is not our faith that holds us or saves us. Faith is the instrument that activates God's grace. By the way, all through Scripture, you're going to find grace and faith tied together. You can't separate the two. Anytime man will exercise a choice of his will to believe the promises of this book, God gets excited. And what does he do? He always rises to extend grace to the heart that will exercise belief in this book. So when faith is exercised on your part of mine, it causes grace to be extended to us. By the way, grace is already extended to us. We just have to accept it by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? So faith is simply that which activates God's grace. Faith doesn't hold us. What it does, it reaches outstretched arms up to God, and God reaches down by His grace and picks us up. God will not pick up anybody by their armpits. There's got to be outstretched arms to receive His grace. That's faith. God by grace reaches down and takes a hold of the arms that are reaching out. See, outreached arm says this: I can't do it. You can, God, I can't. You know, when my girls were little, I can still see them coming up beside me. You know, want me to pick them up when they were just little bitty tiny things, just barely able to walk. Sometimes they couldn't walk. They'd crawl over and grab them by the preacher's leg and pull themselves up. You know, what that mean? I can't get where I want to get by myself. I want you to do it for me. Listen, I'm here to tell you that God has picked me up and carried me many places, so to speak, spiritually. But there came a point in my life when He said, I'm not picking you up anymore. You know everything you need to know to get where you need to go. Just choose to obey the principles. And this came a point in time when my girls got big enough, I wasn't going to pick them up anymore. You know, I really don't like to see a mom or a daddy carrying around a five-year-old kid. Let that kid walk, you know. He's got legs. Hey, God gets to the same place. God gets to the place where He says, I'm not picking you up anymore. You know enough of the Bible to do this yourself by believing what it says. But I'm thankful that God operates on the outreached arms. It is God holding us and not us holding Him. My point with this object, John chapter 12 and verse 36, it says, believe in the light. And of course, you go back in the verses before that, Jesus Christ put Himself as the light. He was the light of the world. And He says, believe in the light while you have the light. My point is, there was an object to be believed in. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, it says, have faith in God. Doesn't say just have faith. Doesn't say just believe. It says have faith in God. John chapter 14, and verse number 1, Christ Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in Me. There's an object of the faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says, we're to have faith in God. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. Who you're to believe? You're to believe in the only begotten Son of God. There's an object of the faith. And if you don't have the right object, I don't care how strong your faith is. It doesn't help you a whole lot. And every time we exercise faith, we better make sure that the object of our faith is biblical or our faith is misplaced. But we see the object of faith. Not only the order of faith and object of faith, but number 1 through 3 here. Verse 1 through 3, the third thing, and this is where I spend the rest of the time this morning, the outcomes of faith. The outcomes of faith. Now faith is the substance of the things hoped for. The first thing I want you to see in the outcome of faith is what I call the confidence in the anticipated. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance here is the word that three times in our Bible is translated confidence. 2 Corinthians 9:4, 11:17, and Hebrews 3 and verse number 14, it's translated confidence. There is one place I want you to turn, Hebrews chapter 1. Interesting application of this verse in Hebrews chapter number 1. And I want you to look at verse number 3, please. It says, who, being the brightness of His glory, and the expressed image of His person. and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Of course, in verse number 3, speaking of Christ Jesus, says that he was the brightness of the glory of God. It says that he was the expressed image of his person. Notice that, his person. That is the same word translated in verse number 3 as his person. It's the same word that's used right here for substance. Christ Jesus was the image of his substance. He was the image of his confidence. It's the same word right here. It literally means the essence that makes somebody who they are. Sort of interesting, this word was in the Greek language a business term word. It meant to show ownership or to show genuineness. Hey, out in my van I have a cell phone. I don't have just a cell phone. I have an Apple cell phone. And on the back of my van I have a little Apple emblem. Now, why do I do that? Because I'm an Apple user. That little Apple emblem shows a statement of genuineness. You can buy any other kind of cell phone you want, and you can go around and say, hey, I have an Apple. I have an iPhone. I have an iPhone. I have an iPhone. And guess what? You don't have an iPhone. Unless it's an iPhone. It's got to be able to be proven to be genuine. That's what this word right here means. It's like, I don't fear going home this afternoon and walking in my house. Why? I have the keys to fit my house. I have a title for my land and property. I don't worry about going out here and getting in my van and driving home. Why? I have the keys for my van and I have a title for my van. I have a marriage license to show that Renee and I are married. I have birth certificates to show that my daughters belong to us. I mean, I have passports when I get ready to travel. I have a passport with my picture and documentation to show that I am who I say I am. That's the terminology right here with this word. Shows ownership, shows genuineness, and here we see that faith is what shows we're genuine. Faith is what shows that we are who we say we are. We say we're Christian. Well, we better live by faith. Otherwise, we're hollering, whistling, or blowing up an empty tree. Now, notice it says the substance of things hoped for. The word hoped for here literally means expected or anticipated. And therefore, my point, the confidence in the anticipated. The anticipated is something that hadn't got here yet. Now, what am I anticipating? Hey, there's a number of things I'm anticipating by faith. One is a glorified body. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, I know I'm going to get one. So I'm excited about that aspect of the future. I'm looking for Christ to come again. He told me he would, and by faith I believe him. I'm anticipating that. I'm anticipating being with him for all eternity and having a home in heaven. I'm anticipating eternity, this thing, being able to live forever without thoughts of an end. I'm looking forward to all of you being glorified. To dwell above with the ones I love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with the ones I know, well, that's another story. Right? I'm looking forward to all of us having a glorified body because I know how that's going to change things. There's a lot of things I anticipate. But the first outcome of faith is confidence in the anticipated. Number 2, back in verse number 1, it says, the evidence of things not seen. The second outcome of faith is not only does it give confidence in the anticipated, but number 2, it convinces of the absent. Convinces. See, these two thoughts are tied together. The word evidence here is a legal term. It means evidence that brings a conviction in a court of law. That's the idea behind this. The word things here in this, the evidence of things not seen, the word things there is translated in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 1, a matter. You take a matter to the court, Paul said, to the church at Corinth? A matter, a thing, a law. Literally, the word means a lawsuit. So here we see the evidence of a lawsuit not seen. In other words, again, there's a conviction. This word is translated reproof in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. It's translated in the verb form in John 16 and verse number 8 that I made a reference to a while ago. The Holy Spirit is going to, when He comes, is going to reprove. That's the same word right here in the verb form. The world of sin. It means a proof or correction. And here, a demonstration of convincing proof. Listen, it is the faith in God's Word that brings a convincing proof of the absent, that which is gone, that which you can't see again. By the way, the same type of things that I mentioned on the anticipated side are the same type of things that can be seen on the absent side. If, you know, my glorified body is absent. I mean, I have things that's reserved for me in heaven. They're absent, though, right now. Hey, I have loved ones that are absent right now that I'm going to get to see in heaven because they died in Christ. They're absent. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? So I have a number of loved ones that are absent. But I'm convinced that I'm going to get to see them again. I have loved ones, friends. They're absent, but I'm convinced that I mean, the Holy Spirit has given me that proof in my heart that I'm going to see them again. Where is it? Right here? Right here? In my title deed? This document gives me all the details of ownership. It gives me all the details for everything that I believe and think. And so it's convinced me of the absent. That's just as sure as if I were there. My glorified body is not a question. Being present with the Lord is not a question. Having eternity in heaven is not a question. All wickedness being put down is not a question. Christ Jesus reigning from the throne of David is not a question. All sinners unrepentant being cast into hell is not a question. So we see the second outcome of faith is not only this confidence in the anticipated, but convinces of the absent. But notice number 3 in verse number 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. We see that it confirms the applications. Applications of what? This book. Faith confirms it. The applications. Now, the rest of this chapter, of course, gives us all kind of men that applied God's truth in their life. And, of course, it tells us here that it was by faith. Notice verse 2 again. For by it. The word it there refers back to faith in verse number 1. It was by it, by faith then, that the elders, what elders? Any of the older people mentioned in the Old Testament? They did what? They obtained. The word obtained here means to confirm by testimony or witness. Mean to confirm by testimony of witness. Now, sort of interesting, though, it says, for by it the elders obtained. And this is a passive voice word. In other words, this was done to the elders. The elders were borne witness to. Why? Because of their life of faith. By whom? Well, it would have been by other people seeing their lives and God seeing their life. And them seeing their life. You know, one thing about living a life of faith, it does give you confidence, right? It bears witness with your own heart that you're a child of God, right? Right. You prove to yourself that you're genuine yourself by faith. You know, having the testimony of other men, you know, I've known him, say, for 30 years, and he's lived a life of faith for 30. I mean, that's good. It's good to have. But the testimony of God is greater. It's going to be a great thing to stand before the Lord and hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant, don't you think? Isn't that what you want to do? Isn't that your heart's desire to hear that? Well, we see that it confirms the application of faith in your life and my life. Faith confirms it. But then notice number 4, verse 3. the fourth outcome of faith. Not only do we see that it's confidence in the anticipated, we see it convinces of the absent and it confirms the application, but number four, it clarifies the antiquated or the ancient. It clarifies the ancient or the antiquated. Verse number three, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The word understand here means to perceive with your intellect. Means to gain an insight into. Now, in other words, faith then apprehends as a reality what is not revealed to your senses. Did you get that? Faith apprehends as a reality what is not revealed by your senses. All of us have the same senses in order to perceive and to gain information. And God gave us our senses in order for us to gather information for us to make decisions based on that. But faith changes that. Faith is, you've heard people say about this, the sixth sense. You ever heard that? And guess what faith is? For the Christian, it's the sixth sense. It allows us to apprehend as a reality what is not revealed through the five senses of a carnal, normal human being. You know, with that said, verse number three here would take us back to Genesis 1:1. Right? If you believe that God created what we see and don't see from nothing, you can believe anything and everything else that's in the Word of God. You get that? If you can believe that God created everything that you see and don't see, hey, I'm waving my hair through something and that's clear. But there's things in here. You're glad that there are. Aren't you glad there's oxygen in between these hands? I breathed in a substance. I breathed out another one. And the plants are happy for that. Right? I mean, there's things in here floating around. Have you ever been riding a bicycle? You didn't see it coming, but you said something. Something you didn't see went in. Sometimes we're not thankful for what we don't see. But what am I saying? There's all kind of things that you don't see that's beneficial and helpful to us. God made it too, from nothing. And again, if you can believe that, He created it by His spoken word. Now look back at this verse. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The Word of God there, it's used, literally means the spoken Word of God. God spoke it into existence. The word frame means to put in order, to complete, to design, to create. The worlds literally means ages, but it includes ages and everything that's involved in those ages. Of course, that would take you back to the very first age, which would have been the age that God created the earth in. A physics professor at the University of Cincinnati by the name of T.L. Moore made this statement, evolution is the easy solution for a thoughtless brain. That's a great statement. I don't know anything about T.L. Moore other than the fact that he's a physics professor at the University of Cincinnati, but that statement is telling. That would tell me that he's probably not an evolutionist. It would tell me that he's probably a Bible believer. It would tell me that at least he thinks he is a thinking person. Right? Evolution is an easy solution for a thoughtless brain. Evolutionists are humorous. You ever sit and watch the National Geographic Channel and laugh at the way they describe things? Every single animal out there decided to get bigger and stronger and develop teeth or develop a tail or develop gills or develop lungs. And I always wondered, if they had all this power of decision, why didn't they become a man? Since we have control over all of them. You know? We're the one that created bullets and hooks, not them. You know? And we can invade their territory and take them out of their territory. We eat them more than they eat us. You know? We tame them. We put them in fences. We put them in cages. We do all kind of things to them. Right? Why didn't they want to be one of us if they had all this? You watch those shows and listen, it's a good comedy hour. As long as you go to the program with the right attitude to start with. And the right attitude is verse number 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. That part is sort of interesting. The things that are visible, the things that are seen, were not made by the things which do appear, that you can see. Isn't it amazing that God can make something from nothing? He created a man without a woman. Right? He created a woman without a woman. Then he created a man without a man. God can create anytime he wants to create. And he can create anything that he wants to create. He is the authority. But it takes faith to clarify that ancient world that, you know, they keep saying it's 100 billion years old or ever how many, and they keep changing it all the time. And they keep saying this took place and that took place and this took place and that took place when they were never there to see any of it. It's amazing to know what these men have gained. But they can't prove one outside. No, it takes faith to understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That God spoke them into existence. Hey, how much do you really trust God? How much do you trust yourself? It's amazing to see how God's people always are having to help God out. Why? Because we get in a hurry. Faith is a choice of your will to apply the promises of this book. That's faith. It is the responsibility that God has given to each one of us in this room. No matter if you are raised in a Christian home or not, you have been given the responsibilities to choose to apply this book in your life on a daily basis. Daily basis. Not Sunday to Sunday. Day by day. Hour by hour, moment by moment, minute by minute, we have a responsibility of living this book. Will you? That's the choice. Will you exercise your will to believe and obey this and apply this book? That's biblical faith. Now, after that choice is made, then these outcomes will start taking their place in the picture.